Welcome to episode 1329 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. The aching of the human heart is for a life of purpose, for a life of flourishing. It is such a life that God has designed us to enjoy, and He articulated 10 guiding principles for that flourishing. We are taking a deeper look at those principles over the next few months. But before we explore the meaning and structure of the Ten Commandments, let us slow down and notice the moment in which they were given. The commandments emerge not from haste or coercion, but from prolonged encounter, intentionality, and covenant love.
Exodus 34, verses 27 to 28. And the Lord said to Moses,
"Write these words, for in accordance with these words I have made a covenant with you and with Israel."
So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments.
The number 10 appears throughout Scripture in ways that suggest intentionality. 10 plagues preceded the giving of the law. 10 commandments structure the covenant. In Jewish tradition, a minyan, a quorum of 10, is required for communal prayer. The number 10 carries weight. In the ancient Near Eastern context where Israel existed, 10 was a number of completeness and sufficiency. It was the number of fingers on human hands, the tool by which humans work and create. 10 was the base of counting systems. It represented fullness. But there is something more specific about the 10 commandments. They are not random. They are structured with extraordinary care. The structure is triadic. 3 commandments focus on the vertical relationship with God. No other gods, no idols, do not misuse God's name. 1 commandment bridges the vertical and horizontal, the Sabbath, which orders human time around worship of God. 6 commandments address horizontal relationships with others. Honor parents, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not covet. This structure is deliberate. It reflects the 2 greatest commandments that Jesus would later summarize. Love God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. The 10 commandments are the full articulation of what these 2 loves mean in practice. The number 10 also makes the commandments memorable. 10 is the maximum number most humans can hold in working memory without effort. These were not meant to be obscure. They were meant to be remembered, recited, internalized. A shepherd could count them on his fingers. A child could learn them. They were democratized wisdom, not hidden in the hands of priests, but available to all. Now, here is where the comparison to other ancient legal traditions becomes illuminating and somewhat surprising. The most famous ancient legal code is the Code of Hammurabi, created by a Babylonian king around 1754 BC, similar to the time of Moses. The Code of Hammurabi contains 282 laws organized by topic. On the surface, it seems vastly more comprehensive than the Ten Commandments. But look more carefully at what each is trying to accomplish, and you see a fundamental difference in purpose and theology. The Code of Hammurabi is organized around the principle of proportional justice, the famous eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. It is a legal document designed to regulate a complex urban society with different classes of people, free persons, commoners, slaves, who have different legal standing. A law that applies to a free person might not apply the same way to a slave. Justice is calibrated by social status. But the Ten Commandments operate on a completely different principle. They are covenant stipulations, not a legal code for regulating a complex society, but the foundational commitments that define a people's relationship with God and with one another. They assume a fundamental equality before God. The prohibition against murder applies equally to everyone. The command to honor parents applies equally. There is no class distinction. Beyond Hammurabi, scholars have noted parallels to Ten Commandments-style laws in other ancient Near Eastern cultures. Hittite vassal treaties, from around the 14th-13th centuries BC, had a structure that bears striking resemblance to the Ten Commandments. These treaties would begin with an identification of the great king, "I am the king," move into statements of exclusive loyalty, "you shall have no other overlords," and then detail specific obligations and prohibitions. The structure moves from relationship to rules, exactly the pattern we see in Exodus 19 and 20, where God first identifies himself, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt," before stating the commandments. Egyptian wisdom literature, particularly texts like the Declaration of Innocence from the Book of the Dead, contains lists of sins to be avoided in the afterlife. These include murder, theft, lying, and sexual misconduct, sins that overlap significantly with the Ten Commandments. But again, the context is completely different. These are not commandments from a covenant God. They are descriptions of moral requirements for navigating the afterlife. Mesopotamian wisdom traditions contain numerous moral prohibitions that parallel the Ten Commandments. Do not steal. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. These appear in the wisdom literature of Sumer and Babylon. This suggests something important. There was a broad ancient Near Eastern consensus about certain fundamental moral principles. Here is what becomes clear when you compare the Ten Commandments to other ancient legal and moral traditions. First, the Ten Commandments are not unique in identifying moral prohibitions. Across the ancient Near East, cultures recognized that certain actions, murder, theft, adultery, false witness, destroy communities and must be prevented. This is important because it suggests that the commandments are not arbitrary divine whims. They reflect genuine moral realities about human flourishing. They describe the conditions under which communities actually thrive. Second, the Ten Commandments are unique in their theological grounding. Unlike the Code of Hammurabi, which is presented as the pronouncement of the king, or the Egyptian afterlife declarations, which are pragmatic requirements for cosmic order, the Ten Commandments are presented as the direct speech of God, the great I Am, who freed the people. The law flows from relationship with God, not from political authority or cosmic mechanics. Third, the Ten Commandments are unique in their radical equality. In Hammurabi's code, justice is calibrated by class. In Egyptian tradition, requirements differ based on your role in society. But the Ten Commandments apply equally to rich and poor, master and servant, priest and farmer. This is revolutionary. It reflects a theology in which all humans bear the image of God equally. Fourth, the Ten Commandments are unique in their comprehensiveness. While other codes are longer and more detailed, the Ten Commandments accomplish something remarkable. They provide the foundational commitments that, if truly lived out, would address virtually all human sin and disorder. They are like the root code from which all other laws grow. A society that genuinely kept the Ten Commandments would not need 282 additional laws to regulate its behavior. What emerges from this comparison is a profound theological insight. The Ten Commandments are not laws designed to regulate a complex society from outside. They are principles for transforming human hearts from inside. The Code of Hammurabi says, "If you steal, your hand shall be cut off." It is enforced through external punishment. The Ten Commandments say, "Do not steal." It appeals to something deeper, to the conscience, to the understanding that respecting others' property is foundational to human dignity and community flourishing. This is why David could delight in the commandments. They were not experienced as external constraints, but as expressions of wisdom about how to live well. They were not rules imposed by a distant authority, but invitations from a God who loved the people and wanted them to flourish. The number 10, the structure of the commandments, the comparison to other ancient traditions. All of this reveals something about God's intentionality. God did not give a random collection of rules. God gave a carefully crafted, memorable, theologically grounded set of principles that address the fundamental ways humans relate to God and to one another. And here is what is striking. These principles have endured for over 3,000 years. Empires have crumbled. Legal codes have been forgotten. But the Ten Commandments remain. Not because they were imposed through force, but because they speak to something true about human nature and human flourishing. As we prepare to explore these 10 principles over the coming months, it is worth pausing to recognize that we are not studying arbitrary divine restrictions. We are engaging with wisdom that has proven itself across millennia, wisdom that reflects God's deep knowledge of what it takes for humans to flourish. Father, open our hearts to receive your commandments as gifts of love and wisdom, shaping us to love you fully, honor one another faithfully, and live the flourishing life you intend for your covenant people. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today.